I'll have a hamburger, for which I will gladly pay you Tuesday.
Shrinking your debt, expanding your wallet, helping you build your business and build long-term wealth. This is the Financial Fitness Show, turning mind power into money. Featuring financial and business experts from around the globe to help pump you full of the knowledge you need to become financially fit. Helping you on your road to success, it's your host, best-selling author, international speaker, and financial expert, Chip Cummings.
Congratulations, you're still my agent.
Do you remember what your high school average was when it came to your GPA? Your grade point average, and does it have any relative bearing to what you're earning today?
Do I want to remember that? That's the question.
I don't know. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Financial Fitness Show. I am Chip Cummings, your host, here with Tony Robleski, kicking up on the side here. How you doing, Tom?
Excellent. Good to be back.
Good. Yeah, good to have you back in the studio. We are talking about education. Our guest today, when it comes to equating education with actual dollars, this is going to shock some folks, but I think this name is not going to be surprising to anyone. Best-selling author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki, a multi-billionaire and real estate mogul, is going to be with us a little bit later in the show. He's written a new book, Why A Students Work for C Students and B Students Work for the Government.
That's an awesome title, because I know you've talked about that for years, and to get someone of Robert's caliber, this is going to be a lot of fun.
It is. It's actually a fun book. We're going to be talking about financial education for parents. You know, you're looking at an awfully big bill when it comes to tuition. There's scholarship things. Next week, we're bringing on a scholarship expert. I can't wait to get Farnoosh on the show. She's going to be talking about scholarships, but Robert's going to be talking about and not just the education system, but what it's worth in terms of today's dollars in jobs. Well, what sort of grades did you get in school? Were you an A student, a B student, or maybe even worse? Welcome back to the Financial Fitness Show. I'm Chip Cummings, your host, where we're turning mind power into money. And you know, I always had a saying in my early years that the A students worked for the B students and the C students owned the company. And my next guest is no stranger and is probably one of the undisputed leaders in the world of financial literacy internationally. He wrote the book, obviously, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, an international bestseller. He's put on numerous programs and been around the world touting not only that financial literacy is important, but that it's not taught in our schools. And the way the education system is working right now, it's not cranking out some very successful business leaders and entrepreneurs. Born in Hawaii and a Vietnam veteran, successful businessman, author, mogul, investor, he has also experienced the pains and agonies of bankruptcy and homelessness. And it is my pleasure to welcome to the show Robert Kiyosaki. Robert, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Chip. Thanks very much.
Well, it is great to talk to you again, and I got to tell you, when I first saw the title of this book, it obviously raised my eyebrows, because this is something that you and many people in this arena have been talking about for a long time. The education system itself really doesn't work. So let me ask you, what was the impetus for finally sitting down and writing this book after all the success that you've had?
Well, I think the title is Why A Students Work for C Students and B Students Work for the Government. And I think my angst goes against the government more than anything else. our government so-called servants, public servants, are really self-serving. And that really disturbs me. In my own city of Phoenix, this guy quit his corporate job, took a job with the city of Phoenix government, didn't take a paycheck. He worked for 6 years, didn't take a paycheck for three, then dumped it into his last year. And in 6 years, he now gets an annual salary indexed for inflation of $750,000 a year.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And that's the police department, the fire department. These are good people. But, you know, our governments are ripping, our government employees are ripping us off in many cases. But so are the rich and so are the poor. And I think it's all because we have no financial education in school, so desperate people do desperate things. And that's what...
They do, and this is especially timely with what's going on in today's environment. But let me ask you, your father worked for the government, didn't he?
Yeah,
what did he do?
My poor dad was a great guy. He was a fourth-generation Japanese-American. And my father was the head of education for the state of Hawaii because the Japanese really believe in education. And so he was a valedictorian. He had six kids in his own family. Three were valedictorians. Everyone had a master's degree at least. And all died broke. and without government support, they would have been on the street.
Unfortunately, that's a common theme.
Yeah, and the thing that frightens me right now is we don't have a financial crisis because the rich are getting richer than ever before, as you know. We have an education crisis. And, you know, parents are still sending their kids to school and saying, get a good education, but they come out loaded with, you know, what they call that school loan debt, the worst debt possible.
No, it is. Now, I got to ask you, Robert, though, what kind of student were you? Were you one of those C students?
I was worse than that, you know, in high school. I flunked out twice because I couldn't write. Imagine that. Now I'm a writer. But it's ridiculous how life is. But anyway, I still got nominations to Naval Academy and Merchant Marine Academy. I had high SAT scores but bad grades. And it wasn't that I was stupid. I just didn't like what I was being taught. I didn't like my teachers. You know, I kept asking them, why am I studying this stuff? You know, when I was at the academy, I was in my third year of calculus, and I asked the guy, I said, when will I ever use this calculus? And he couldn't tell me.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And you ask a great question in your book, why go to school, and what's the point?
Well, education is important, but the question is, where are you going, you know? And I asked,
and how you apply that, obviously.
Yeah, and I asked parents, do you really think schools are preparing your kids for the real world? And if the answer is yes, keep them in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you have doubts, then you better step in, because I'll tell you something. My father, a PhD, which stood for Poor, Helpless, and Desperate, you know, I was also head of the teachers union. And these guys really do not care about your kids. I'll tell you that much.
That's
good
sad.
People. But all the teachers in the NEA, the National Education Association, all they care about is having more pay, more benefits, and less time at work.
Well, now I know we just got started, and there's a lot of things that we're going to dive into in your new book here. Again, A students work for C students, and B students work for the government. But I got to ask you, basically, when you talk about a college education today, there's a lot of pros and cons, but does it really have the same value that it had years ago?
Well, it depends upon the student and where the kid is going, if you know what I mean. And mm-hmm. I'm not against education. I'm just asking, where is your kid going? Where are you going? What are you learning? You know, if you come out of school and let's say you're $100,000 in college loan debt, can you amortize it? Can you pay it off?
Right.
And if
right. I met a gal, you're going to love this. I met a gal not long ago that had a PhD in opera. And was, yeah, can you believe that? They're over $100,000 in debt, and what's she doing? She was a secretary at Toyota. That's not going to take you very far, right?
Well, the worst thing about it, too, is that these admissions are they have salesmen, too, like used car salesmen working with the school department or the colleges. You know, they're called enrollment specialists. And they sit there, and they actually tell the kid who has no real-life experience that you'll have more pay if you get your PhD. And the kid doesn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Does, goes along, gets a higher degree. And then they find out that nobody really cares.
Exactly. Now, as you point out in your book, you know, every kid growing up, they're taught, go to school, get a job. You get a job to get money. You know, money's the objective, but they never teach them about money itself.
Amen.
And as you stress, that is so important. Where do you start with something like that?
Well, I always say you start with the two things that wipe people out. One is debt, one is taxes. And you've got to understand debt and taxes. And when I talk to these these parents, well, my kids have a financial education at school. They're teaching them how to balance a checkbook, and they're teaching them economics. And I said, what about debt and taxes? Well, we don't study that. And why is most people out debt and taxes? You know, I mean, that's how naive most parents are, too. So I wrote Why A Schools Work for C Students, that the book can change a parent's life, but also then you can change your child's life. Because if you don't change your life, the school's sure not going to do it for them.
Right. Especially when you talk about, you know, these teachers or professors that are making a, you know, a minimal salary in most cases, and they're going to teach somebody about wealth. It just doesn't work that way, let alone about debt and some of the other important aspects of financial
literacy. How about real life outside the school system?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, my guest is Robert Kiyosaki, the author of the brand new book, A Students Work for C Students and B Students Work for the Government. You know him best as the best-selling author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, of course. With the Financial Fitness Show, we're turning mind power into money. Don't go anywhere. Straight ahead, we're going to talk about more education pitfalls, including Robert's system of quadrants and how you too can teach your kids more about the power of financial literacy and getting wealthy. We'll be right back. The C students are running the world. Now, and the B students work for the government. Now, the brand new book, Why A Students Work for C Students and B Students Work for the Government, brand new by Robert Kiyosaki, best-selling author, and he is my guest right now. Robert, before the break, we were talking about the parents' influence on kids and how important that is and where they sort of learn those techniques. And one of the things that you point out is not only the schools are failing, but the parents are failing their kids as well. How do we reverse that trend?
Well, the parents need to take a look at their personal lives. You know, are you struggling financially? Are you in a dead-end job? Are you climbing the corporate ladder? Are you paying too much in tax? Are you struggling to make house payments? All of that transmits or communicates to your children. Like, I grew up in, you know, my father was the head of education in the state of Hawaii, and he had an attitude towards rich people, basically a socialist. He says, you know, the rich are crooks. Mm. And my rich dad was my best friend's father, said, your government employee father's the crook. And so, as a boy, I came out schizophrenic, you know?
dichotomy, both sides.
But I do cover that in my book, is that there are three sides to every coin: heads, tails, and the edge of the coin. And intelligence is when you can sit on the edge and see both sides. So I could see both sides of my rich dad and my poor dad. And that's why my education is a little bit more balanced, should I say, than the people that say the rich are a bunch of crooks or the rich are greedy, because that's not true. The people who are greediest are actually the poor and middle class. Mm-hmm. When you look inside the book. And then you'll go, oh, my God. So there's another point of view. I'm not saying they're bad people. But without financial education, that's why we have, you know, government, you know, the police department, they retire millions of dollars now.
Right.
And in California, they have guys who are lifeguards who can retire at age 51 at $110,000 a year, indexed for inflation.
Ouch.
Government employees are ripping us off.
Yeah, and yeah, it's the system the way it was set up. Now, when you teach, you're teaching a system of quadrants, and go into that a little bit more detail and explain what you mean there.
Well, there's four people in the world. So look at the Red Cross sign. You know, on one side there's E's and S's on the left side, and that stands for employee and self-employed, small business, or specialists like doctors. On the right side are the B and the I, and B stands for big business, 500 employees or more, and I stands for active or professional investors. So the thing is, all four are different people, and all four quadrants are completely different environments. So most people are programmed to go to school for the E and the S side, the left side.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys who are the richest are on the right side. So you look at the richest guys on Earth today, most of them dropped out of school, like Henry Ford, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, Michael Dell, this guy from Tumblr. And they dropped out of school because they don't want to be on the E and the S side. They want to be on the B and the I side.
Right. But they...
And the rich are on the B and the I side.
And it's hard to see
that. On the E and the S side.
Right. Now, if I was listening to this and ask you for one piece of advice that I could use starting today, if I was to take one step today in order to get on that side of the quadrants and start putting my life in order, what would you tell me?
I'll tell you what I did. Is back in 1973, I came back as a pilot from Vietnam, and I had, you know, I could have been a pilot for the airlines, but I'd be an employee on the east side. So that's why the first course I took was I took a real estate investment course, 3 days, $385, and I became a multimillionaire off of the 3 days, 385-day course, I mean, dollar course. And on top of that, I don't pay tax. So I make millions of dollars and pay no taxes, tax legally. That's an education to me.
Right.
But to go and fly for the airlines making $500,000 a year and paying 60% in tax is not intelligent to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense. But so if it makes sense to you, go fly for the airlines, or you can come over to the right side and learn a little bit about the real world of money.
So if I'm going to enter that quadrant and start changing my life, and as you say in the book, start paying myself first before anything, how do I do it? How much should I be paying myself? Where should I be spending my time to get on that side of the quadrant?
Well, like I said, I don't have a job. You know, I don't want to work for money. I want to have money work for me. So it starts with an attitude shift.
Yep.
And so that's why I took this little course, 3 days long, $385. And today I have millions of dollars coming in and pay no tax on it legally. What I spend my day doing is looking for more investments.
Mm-hmm.
Today I'm looking at a post office down in southern Arizona to go buy. And I'd rather have my money work for me so I don't have to work for money. Now, some of you say, well, I don't have any money. Well, that's because you went to school, probably.
And you've got all that student debt, right?
And that's why I'm saying you need to go turn your brain around. Don't try and do it on your own. Education is important. I'm not anti-education. As I said earlier in the program, is where is education going to take you? Is it going to take you to the E quadrant or the S quadrant, like a stockbroker or a real estate broker or something like that? I didn't want to do those things. I wanted to be a man who had money work for me, so I didn't have to work for money, because I was free.
Yeah, there is a difference between working for a living and living to work. There's no doubt about that. And real estate is, I agree with you, because I've written 8 books on the subject myself. You know, my latest Zero Risk Real Estate talks about the same concept, as you know, but it's really important that you handle it correctly as well. And you talk about rich people going broke really fast, not understanding some of these principles. What are some of the biggest mistakes they make?
Again, the same thing. They have education, but they have no financial education. You know, they may be an MBA or a PhD, but they know nothing about money because they've been educated to go through the E quadrant or the S quadrant. The B quadrant is completely different, and that's what I'm trying to say to people. So I would take a course. You know, my company offers courses, other guys offering courses, but I would take investment courses. I don't care if it's stocks, bonds, or anything like that. Just take your mind over to the other side. But most people are, you know, the reason most small businessmen stay small is they're taught to do the same thing employees do, which is turn their money over to a financial planner. And you don't get any tax breaks for doing that. When I invest, the government gives me tax breaks. But you get no tax breaks as a saver or a mutual fund investor or a stock investor. It's really ridiculous.
Yeah, as you talk about in your quadrant, 60% is going to that S quadrant in terms of tax percentages.
Well, the quadrant goes, if you're an employee, you'll pay approximately 50% of your income in taxes. The doctors and lawyers, the S's, they pay 60%, which is a good thing. On the B side is 20%. On the I side, it's 0%. And that's why I said financial education really should include debt and taxes. Now, the reason debt is important is because debt is tax-free money. And most guys are saying, most financial advisors are saying, save, 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 and get out of debt. To me, that's nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't compute in my brain. But I know why they say it, and it's good advice if you have no financial education. If you're an idiot, save, 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 and get out of debt.
See, now you're validating all the flack I take when I tell people that, no, the path to wealth is not to save, save, save. It is to invest and do it the way you're talking about.
Debt, because it's tax-free money. When somebody says, I don't have money, so we're not supposed to. The bank has your money. You know, the bank takes the saver's money and gives it to people like me. And I pay no tax, and they pay tax on their savings. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's so bad. it's, I cover that in why A students work for C students. I have a picture of this one old couple putting money in the bank, and the bank turns around and gives it to guys like me.
It is a great picture and great story as well.
Yeah.
What are some of the other mistakes that people make? I mean, obviously we talk about the taxes. We talk about the fact that they're, you know, they're working for other people. But in terms of other aspects of our money and long-term financial planning, especially in our later part of life, what sort of mistakes?
Well, number one is that they take financial advice from poor people. You know, they take financial advice from stockbrokers, mutual fund brokers, financial planners, and they don't take advice from rich people. Like, you know, last night I was at dinner with my friends, they're all multimillionaires, young people, you know, it's pathetic when we listen to what other people are, you know, at our table was two doctors, and it's like we're on different planets.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, my financial planners would do this, and we all look at them and go, you got to be nuts, you know?
It's a form of brainwashing, I tell you.
Well, they're doctors, you know, they're highly educated, smart people, but they're not smart at everything. And that's one of the traps that A students fall into.
Right,
right. Just because you're an A student in piano doesn't mean you're an A student in finance, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, don't go away. We'll be right back with more from with Robert Kiyosaki, author of the brand new book, A Students Work for C Students and B Students Work for the Government. I love talking to Robert. He is just is so enlightening. We could sit and talk to him for hours. And in fact, we are going to have more of our conversation with Robert in our members area. And we're going to be giving you a whole lot of great, great content in our members area. And we'll tell you more about that in the future. It's amazing stat. 46% of those who enter U.S. college fail to graduate within 6 years, let alone four.
Wow.
And they come out with a boatload of debt, well, over $100,000. Catch this. Since 2002, student loan borrowing has doubled. It's now at $113 billion.
Well, it's just, you know, frankly, it's unsustainable. I mean, Robert really talked about it, and his book is phenomenal. He dives deeper. And again, it's not anti-education. It's the cost, and where are you going to take it? And he made a really, I think, damning case that you've got to really look around and ask some serious questions.
Yeah, you got to make sure it relates. And, I'm in a fortunate situation. I've got two kids in college. We're not taking out any loans. We're
wow.
paying cash as we go. And
okay.
I know most people can't do that.
Yeah.
And they need to look at other sources. This is Chip Cummings on behalf of everyone here at the Financial Fitness Show, where we are turning mind power into money. We'll see you next week. Have a fun, profitable week, and I'll see you on the road to success.